Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahansa Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON DVT founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Padavajikacharya Stoka Siddha Shishi Mata's Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Gauri Vaishnavinda ki jai. Nama Acharya Sahadadas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pabuna Chananda Shed Vaita Gridar Shivasiri Gaura Bhakti Vinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Girigabadan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Nabadeep Mai Poor Dham Kijai Ganga Jumunamai Kijai Tulasi Devi Maharani Kijai Samaveda Bhakti Vinda Kijai Harinam Sankirtan Kijai Briha Madanga Kijai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 9th Chapter, Text Number 7. Daivena te hata diyo bhavata prasangat. Daivena te hata diyo bhavata prasangat. Sarvasu sarvasubho pasamanad vikamendriyaye. Sarvasubho pasamanad vimukendriyaye. Kurvanti kama sukha lesha labhaya dina. Kurvanti kama sukha lesha labhaya dina. Lobha vibhuta manaso kushalani shashvat. Lobha vibhuta manaso kushalani shashvat. Daivena te hata diyo bhavata prasangat. Sarvasubho pasamanad vimukendriyaye. Kurvanti kama sukha lesha labhaya dina. Lobha vibhuta manaso kushalani shashvat. Vaishnavis. Daivena, by fate of misfortune, te, they, hatadiya, bereft of memory, bhavataha, of you, prasangat, from the topics, sarva, all, ashubha, inauspiciousness, upasamanat, curbing down, vimukha, turned against, indriyaha, senses, yay, those, kurvanti, act, kama, sense gratification, sukha, happiness, lesha, brief, lavaya, for a moment only. Dinaha, poor fellows. Loba abibhuta, overwhelmed by greed. Manasaha, of one whose mind. Akoshalani, inauspicious activities. Shashvat, always. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of all auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while, purport. The next question is why people are against such auspicious activities as chanting and hearing the glories and pastimes of the Lord, which can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence. The only answer to this question is that they are unfortunate because of supernatural control due to their offensive activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. The Lord's pure devotees, however, take compassion upon such unfortunate persons and, in a missionary spirit, try to persuade them into the line of devotional service. Only by the grace of pure devotees can such unfortunate men be elevated to the position of transcendental service. Om gina tamadam dasha jadam jana shalakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayamupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. So this is Lord Brahma continuing to speak. He's offering prayers to Garbhadakshai Vishnu. And at this point, he's an enlightened person. Earlier, in one of the earlier purports, we heard about how he meditated, and at the end of that meditation, Krishna revealed to him a a lot of things about himself and about his position, and that's when the Brahma Samhita was composed. So this is, I think, after that. These prayers are being offered after that. It doesn't really matter. The point is that they're on level with Brahma Samhita. When Lord Brahma speaks, it's worth listening to. He's a very highly elevated devotee, very enlightened person. So Prabhupada starts his purport by saying the next question. What was the first question? Well, we heard that yesterday. The previous question, the first question was, because Prabhupada starts the purport to yesterday's verse, he says, one may question how one can always think of the Lord in regard to his name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs. And then he goes on to elaborate upon that. Basically, the answer to that first question was by being a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, doing everything for his satisfaction, everything for his pleasure. You know, Prabhupada would make the point that a non-devotee is earning money for his own sense gratification, whereas a devotee is performing the same activity but for Krishna's satisfaction. He's maintaining household and family and everything. Everything's done for Krishna's satisfaction. And that's the way in which a person can always think of the Lord, despite the fact that he's embarrassed, because Prabhupada said material life, particularly household life, is kind of, you know, it's a lot of awkward situations, but that's the way, by being a soul surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was the first question. Now today, Prabhupada says the next question, today's purport. And he says that question is why people are against that program. Why are people against such auspicious activities as chanting and hearing the glories and pastimes of the Lord? And he goes on to explain why that's not a good idea to be like in that, have that attitude, because they can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence. So why is it that people in the material world who are embarrassed by thoughts of family life, why wouldn't they be attracted to this wonderful program? Just hearing and chanting the auspicious, the glories and pastimes of the Lord can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence. So, for those, if you were listening carefully, Prabhupada then gives the answer to that question. He says the only answer is to this question is that they are unfortunate because of supernatural control due to their offensive activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. In other words, they're being punished by daiva, and that's daivena, by the fate of misfortune. That's the first verse, first word in the Sanskrit. So, Prabhupada, I won't say got it. That same idea is expressed very nicely by Lochan Das Thakur in a song called, well, actually, I don't know what it's called. I know the first line is Paramakarana. But Prabhupada taught that song to devotees on two different occasions. The first one was here in Los Angeles in 1969, not at this location, over at La Cienega. And he gave a very, he gave a purport as well. And then again, he taught that song to the devotees on, I think it was April in Atlanta, 1975. When all the devotees came to from all over the country to be with Prabhupada. So the song goes like this. I won't sing it, but I'll just say the translation. I mean the words. Padma Karana Pahundvijana Nitai Gora Chandra Saba Avatara Sarasi Romani Kevala Ananda Kanda. So it's Lochan Das Thakur saying that the two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, are supremely merciful. Parama Karana. And their incarnation is the Saba Avatara Sada Siromani. It's the essence. Siromani. It's the essence of all incarnations. And their process for self-realization, executing the process they've given us for self-realization, is completely joyful. Right? That's his first statement. Then he goes on to say, Bajo Bajo Bai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Vishvasha Kodi. How's it going? Vishaya Chadiya Seira Se Majiya Muke Bulo Hari Hari. He goes on to make the point
He says, well, okay, so understanding that, we should, my brothers, we should worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with sudhrida bishbashakordi, with firm determination, right? Sudhrida, like a vow. Sudhrida bishbashakordi, firm vow of determination to worship. And he says, Vishaya chadiya sevara seram majiya muke bolo, giving up all thoughts of sense gratification, one should, from the mouth, muke bolo hari hari, you should chant the holy names. Because that'll be the only thing that would mess up the whole process if we maintain the desire for sense gratification. So that's the second point he makes in his song. And the third one is he's elaborating upon the power of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He says, Deka ore bai, tribu vene nai, emana dalaya data, pasupake jodi, pasana vidare, sune jara gunagata. And he's describing how when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, well, Lord Chaitanya was traveling through the forest of Jarikanda, and he was chanting, and he was actually even liberating the animals. You know, it was so powerful, the potency of the sound vibration, the prema bhakti that was emanating, you know, from Lord Chaitanya, was so powerful that even animals were becoming, transcending the modes of material nature and being elevated to the spiritual platform. That's how powerful it was. And then he goes on to say that it's so powerful that it could even make the hearts of stone, you know, stone-like men melt and, become affected. Correct so far? So then he goes on to say, and this is the last, the one that's relevant to today's purport. He goes, Samsare majiya roi le podia na sepada nahilo ash. Apana karoma bunjaya samana kohe lochanadas, kohe ye lochanadas. He says, so what's going on? But my problem is, I know all this, but because of my involvement in activities of sense gratification, I'm being punished by Yamaraj. He's not allowing me to become attracted to this movement. That's what, I don't know if Prabhupada got it from that song or if it's just like a standard understanding. But it was, as I said, it was also expressed by Lochan Das Thakur in that song. And Prabhupada is making that same point here, that the only answer is that the reason why the people aren't taking to this wonderful process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, which can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence, is that they are unfortunate because of supernatural control due to their offensive activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. So as Lochan Das Thakur said, they're being punished by Yamaraj in the form of they're not being allowed to be attracted to the Sankirtan movement. So, where is the hope? Because pretty much that's the program, in this day and age. People are engaged in activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification, and those are considered offensive, and that's the result's going to be that they're going to be, punished by that supernatural control in the form of them not being allowed to become attracted to the Sankirtan movement. So where is the hope? Well, Prabhupada goes on to explain what the hope is. In the next sentence of the purport, he says, the Lord's pure devotees, however, take compassion upon such unfortunate persons and in a missionary spirit try to persuade them into the line of devotional service. And here's the point. He says, one word, only. Is a big word. Only by the grace of pure devotees can such unfortunate men be elevated to the position of transcendental service. That's a big point. Only by the grace of the pure devotees. There was I can't remember what year it was, but there was a morning walk. Prabhupada was walking with some devotees, and they were just talking like they'd always do, discussing. And many of you have heard this anecdote, so I'll give the short version. So one devotee, he said to Prabhupada, he got his chance to get in there and pose his question, said, Prabhupada, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, and he quoted Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 28, Yesham Tvantakatam Papam, that verse, okay? Which states that only persons who have acted piously in this life and in previous lives and whose sinful activities are completely eradicated, only they can engage in devotional service with firm determination. So he quoted that verse, and he then proceeded to ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, does that mean that, you know, those of us who are your followers, your disciples, that we acted piously in this life and in previous lives? And Prabhupada, he knew exactly what he was getting at, and Prabhupada interrupted him. He cut him off, and he said, I have created your good fortune. And Prabhupada didn't support his thesis. I have created your good fortune. In other words, grace. It's just another way of saying the same thing. By the grace of Prabhupada, we got the opportunity to engage in devotional service. So now I want to read a definition, a dictionary definition of grace, because it's important to, you know, for us to clearly understand just exactly what it is that we're talking about here. I thought this was a decent definition. Grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. See? So that's what grace is, and that's what we received in order to be able to come to devotional service ourselves. Of course, it doesn't begin. Prabhupada's saying here in the purport, it's only by the grace of the pure devotees that such unfortunate men can be elevated to the position of the transcendental service. But now, this is my understanding. I hope it's correct. I think it is. I'm going to present it. The grace doesn't start with the pure devotee. He's a conduit. He's an instrument. The grace is from Krishna and from Lord Chaitanya. But he's in complete compliance. He's completely in cooperation with their will. So Krishna works through his pure devotees. Lord Chaitanya works through his pure devotees. It's not like, you know, Durvasa Muni or some, you know, one of these mystic yogis where they just, by their own will, they just decide, boom, and, you know, pull some hair out of the head and create a demon or whatever they do. Okay? It's a little different. You know, it's ultimately depending upon the Lord, you know, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, like that. But the pure devotee is the conduit. He's the instrument. It goes through him. You see? And someplace in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the Lord's mercy follows the devotee's mercy. So when the devotee decides, you know, the devotee feels satisfied with the, or desires to show his mercy to somebody, then Krishna's mercy follows, because the devotee, the pure devotee, is Krishna's, he's got the power of attorney. He's got the power of attorney. See? So he can, that's why it's said, you know, it's one song, I think, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It says, Krishna is yours. You know, you can give him. Therefore, I'm chasing you, you know. Please give me Krishna. Something to that effect. But so that's there. So at least for as far as we're concerned, we want to receive grace. You know, we have to be very diligent. That might sound like, that sounds like a contradiction. I mean, because you just read how grace is unmerited divine assistance. So how can you say we have to be diligent? It doesn't make it. Well, here's how it works, okay? Yeah, it's a gift. Grace. It's not mechanical. There's nothing you can do to, you know, force getting grace. But it's part of a relationship. See? So at least as devotees, people who are, you know, like us, we're already devotees, okay? I mean, for the people who are, you know, out there and have no contact with devotional service at all, it's almost like a total gift for them, at least initially. But in our case, you know, we got some grace. We've been given some unmerited assistance, you know, in spiritual life. But in order to get more, we have to, you know, we have to reciprocate. We have to try to follow the instructions, you know, of the pure devotee and of Krishna. And when we do that, and the pure devotee is pleased, then we get more grace. Notice Prabhupada gave this example. I think I just heard this yesterday. I was listening to a morning walk conversation in Detroit in about 1976. So this devotee started to say, he said, Prabhupada says someplace, I can't remember which scripture he was quoting, that if you chant the holy name once, it relieves you from more sinful reactions than you can commit, in, even if you try, in you know, a lifetime or something to that effect. And Prabhupada said, yeah, that's true. He said, but chant 16. I mean, he meant 16 rounds. In other words, and then Prabhupada made the point that that's, a devotee doesn't think like that. He says, a devotee doesn't think, I've got grace, so therefore now I could do what I want to do. You know, I've got it. No, devotee's mood is, okay, yeah, but I have to be as sincere as I can and really try to surrender. Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada referred to that verse. I don't think he quoted it. He just referred to that verse by, I believe it's by Sanatan Goswami or Rupa Goswami, that I'd like, you know, he's praying that I wish I had millions of tongues and billions of ears so that I could, you know, not only that I could chant constantly, but I could hear that the transcendental sound vibration with more ears, more tongues, you know. That's devotee's attitude, not that let me chant once and then, okay, now I can do what I like, you know. That's cheap grace. We're not, you know, Prabhupada said we're not interested in that. That's not our attitude. So that was there. So, yeah, and another interesting thing is, as I mentioned, we want to receive grace, and the formula for that is given in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, everybody knows it. To those who are constantly devoted, worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. And then Krishna says, out of compassion for them, who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So there's a process, there's an exchange there. The devotee has to be constantly devoted and worship Krishna with love, and then the result will be, hopefully, it's not 100%, you know, it's no guarantees. As I said, it's not mechanical. The grace will descend if one does that. So that's there. But now, here's another point that we're in an interesting position because we want to, you know, we're desiring to receive grace in our lives, but also we've been given the opportunity to be instruments to give grace to others. You see? So that's kind of, and by doing that, that makes us more eligible and more qualified to receive grace ourselves. Because, you know, we've heard from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and Lord Chaitanya, yade deke tade kade Krishna upadesh, like that, and Prabhupada, you know, that if we preach, that's the way to be quickly recognized by Krishna. So that's another way. We're actually being given the opportunity to be instruments of grace, extending that grace to other people by just following the instruction of our spiritual master and going out and trying to, in some way or another, by distributing prasadam, distributing the holy name, distributing books, preaching at engagements, like, you know, by doing those, following those instructions that Prabhupada gave us, outreach instructions, how to, you know, give it to other people, we're simultaneously becoming more eligible to receive that grace ourselves as a result of, by dint of performing that service, which is very pleasing to the spiritual master, the whole parampara, disciple succession, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, like that, you know, up, up, up. And at the same time, that grace is going to come flowing through us, you know, to the degree how surrendered we are and how pure we are, that grace will come flowing through us and other people will become able to be attracted to devotional service. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that the measure of a Vaishnav is how much of a touchstone he is, and that's how much grace that person is able to come through that person to, you know, to attract other people to devotional service. This is something we should be striving for, to become, you know, more better conduits, better instruments for the mercy, you know, of the higher authorities, like that. And this is the greatest service that one can perform for humanity, because it's the only service that really is solving people's problems. This material world is not a nice place. It is not a nice place now. It was never a nice place in the past. It'll never be a nice place in the future. And that's not just my opinion. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartina arjuna mamu pecha tukuntaya punar Yeah, thank you. Puna Janma, birth again, Navijate. He won't see it. So, yeah, Krishna says, from the highest planet to the lowest, is all these places, material is just places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But if somebody comes back to me, that's it. They don't come back to this material world again. And that's really the solution. And there's actually no other solution to, you know, real ultimate solution to the problems of material existence. You got to surrender to Krishna and go back to Godhead. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, I mean, what about the Satya Yuga? That was pretty nice. Satya Yuga, people live for 100,000 years. They were all Paramahamsas, right? That sounds pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't mind being around. Yeah, but what were they doing? Yeah, you're right. They did live for 100,000 years. They were Paramahamsas. That would be pretty nice. You'd be pretty happy as a Paramahamsa. But what were those Paramahamsa, you know, people of the Satya Yuga? They were worshiping Krishna. You know, it wasn't like they were out partying and trying to have a good time and, you know, going to the lake and fishing. You know, whatever. You know, they were seriously engaged in spiritual life. That's what they were doing in Satya Yuga. So, yeah, okay, it was a lot better then than now, but, you know, they understood that this is not where we really want, ideally where we want to be, and they were trying to engage in devotional service to get out. Somebody might also say, well, wait a second, but what about the heavenly planets? You can really enjoy there, right? Well, yeah, Prabhupada does say in different places, different purports, that the enjoyment on the heavenly planets is thousands of times more. He literally says thousands of times more than here on Earth planet. But what are the demigods doing? There's a verse in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It talks about what the demigods what their desire is. Does anybody know that verse? I think you might know it. The verse about how the demigods are lining up. There's a verse. I can't remember the Sanskrit, but I was hoping somebody would know it because I didn't bother to pull it up. There's a verse in the fifth canto that says the demigods are lining up to take birth. Yeah. Yeah. In the material world at this time, so they can have the opportunity to take part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. See? So they're there. You know, they're doing it. They're in that situation where they have the 1,000 times better sense gratification and the long life and the whole works. But, you know, they're intelligent. They understand that it'd be better if we could take birth now on Earth and so we could have the opportunity to participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So, you know, that's where it's at. So, good, you know, Krishna's statement. Krishna's statement holds that this is not a utopia. See, and there is fresh proof. Here we are having a nice Srimad Bhagavatam class, and you know, anyway. So, we have to, as Krishna says, go back to the spiritual world. That's the solution. And in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 7 in the purport, there's a very nice statement. Prabhupada quotes from the some Vedic literature. Let's see if I can find it real quick here. This is what we're after. He quotes from the Vedic literature called the Majjhadinayana Shruti. And I won't read the Sanskrit, but the English translation, basically, of what the Sanskrit is, Prabhupada says, it is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear him and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. In other words, in the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the goal. That's the goal. You know, to be serious about our devotional service, go back to Godhead And as I've heard other people giving class say the same, and take as many, be instrumental in helping as many other people do the same thing as we possibly can. That's what we're trying to do. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions first, and then we could take a comment at the end. Question.
So thank you, Prabhu, for the beautiful lesson. And what I was saying was, in the beginning of this lesson, you were talking about how a devotee was saying to Prabhupada, he was asking Prabhupada, so in a previous life or in this life, we were doing pious activities, and is that why we were? And then Prabhupada cut him off, and he said, no, did he say it was by my grace? That I just wanted you to clarify that.
So I've created your good fortune.
I've created your good fortune by Prabhupada's grace.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. That's not the only thing that Prabhupada said on that subject. On another occasion, I never saw this in print, but I heard it, that Prabhupada was asked, because Prabhupada once said that, you know, my spiritual master sent you to help me, referring to his disciples. Mm-hmm. So on one occasion, Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, Prabhupada, you said that we were in our previous lives, we were devotees, and your spiritual masters sent us to help you. So how is it that we took birth here in the West? And Prabhupada said, that is just to save the airfare. No, I heard that. Devotees told me that. I don't know if that's bona fide or not. Did you get it? Yeah. Prabhupada said that, you know, my spiritual master sent you to help me. So a devotee once questioned Prabhupada, Prabhupada, if that's the case, how come we took birth here in the West? How come we didn't take birth in India?
Yeah.
And Prabhupada said, that is just to save the airfare. But I don't know if that's 100% bona fide. I've heard it from devotees, but I don't know how bona fide it is.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Such is annoying.
Yeah, that statement that you made is correct. That Prabhupada created our fortune. Although in the scriptures also is mentioned that no one can be performing devotional service if in his previous life he hasn't been a devotee or been in contact with.
Yes, and the nectar of devotion. That's
it's the same. Even Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that too.
Somebody left their japa mala in the pujari room? Anybody?
So it's. But the devotee doesn't think like that. I guess this is my personal opinion, that you don't think that you've actually been pious or that you did devotional service. But the fact that you're here, it appears also that statement that you already did. And in Kapila Dev also, those verses. So what's the mother of Kapila Dev?
Aho bata swapato to gaga. That one about somebody's... on the lips of the person who's chanting the holy name is understood. Yeah.
So that you, if you already perform pious activities by bathing in the rivers, by reading the scriptures, it means that you already done devotional service. You already did it.
You did all the other stuff.
You did all the things.
Preliminary. Yeah, but you're right. It's there. Those statements are there. But at the same time, the devotee, he thinks himself lower than the stool and the worm. At the same time. Archita wanted to say something.
You gave the indication yesterday by that story of the brahmachari who came back as a brahmacharini in his next life. So different devotees are coming from different situations. Some are coming from previous. If you pick it up right away, that's the indication. We see sometimes somebody comes and literally overnight they know all the prayers and they're doing everything exactly as they're supposed to do. So obviously that person is picking up where they left off in the previous. But some people are starting out from scratch. It's not that all devotees are coming from the same situation in the last life and doing it. No, everybody's on a different trajectory. So, but the bottom line is that if you're still in this material world and you still have material desires, then you're not ready to go back to Godhead. So everybody needs to give themselves that thermometer. What's my real goal in life? If I'm still leaning towards sense gratification, and obviously I was not some Paramahansa in my previous life.
Jai Swas Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. In this idea of, the, of getting the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord, I think that the mercy for us was that Srila Prabhupada gave us devotional service. And because devotional service is what connects the devotee with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in other words, we may get the mercy of the guru, but if we don't perform devotional service, we're not going to get that mercy.
Right.
So that's what's the fundamental, you know, purpose of a pure devotee, to introduce a conditioned soul to Krishna through the process of devotional service. And if the devotee takes that position of surrendering to the pure devotee's instruction or service to Krishna by devotional service, one becomes a pure devotee and they themselves go back home back to Godhead, plus give devotional service to other people.
Right. Yep. Thank you. Anybody else like to say anything? Maharaj and then Mother Shyamapriya. And that'll be it because we're kind of getting a little over time.
In that point that you made about where Srila Prabhupada answers the devotee and says, I have made your good fortune. And it's a very telling and very significant point he's making. And he's made it many times in different ways. It happens to be that devotees often, as a result of being close to, being near to, being virtually on top of the words of Srila Prabhupada in person, we tend to ignore his greatness. We forget what he really is. We begin to think he's like us. And as a result of thinking that he's very much like us, we underestimate his greatness. And Prabhupada is trying to wake us up to the fact that, no, I'm not like you. I'm far more advanced than you, and you should wake up to this fact. And if you surrender to me in this understanding, then you will make much spiritual advancement. But don't try to be an okay guy and feel that you're an equal to Prabhupada simply because we both speak English or we both have some of the same speech defects. These things are of no consequence. The most important thing is that devotee always feels lower than the straw on the street, and Prabhupada is far greater, higher, bigger, grander than the straw on the street. So we should never forget our smallness next to Prabhupada. He is vast, great, amazing, inconceivable. That's all.
Thank you. And Mother Shyamapriya, and that'll be it.
Hare Krishna. You were talking about the verse quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami, about having hundreds and thousands of tongues. So I just wanted to say a little bit more about Lord Brahma as the origin of our sampradaya. And I feel like that we should make it clear that he's not just, like Maharaj was saying about Prabhupada being a little bit better than us. He's actually separated subjective portion of Vishnu. This is something beyond our conception, and from him everything that we can experience is coming, and things beyond our experience are also coming. So I feel like, you know, Brahma, we're not really, the verses are all about Brahma, but we tend to skip over that and talk about other things. And I just wanted to kind of emphasize that, because I feel that, you know, Brahma, he was such a great entity that Krishna personally revealed the spiritual world to him. And he saw that and he experienced that. And not only the spiritual world, he saw the whole creation and was able to recite that in his prayer, the Brahma Samhita. So I think it's just something very wonderful, and I wanted to say a little bit more and glorify Brahma a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice comment. Okay, thank you very much. Control Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. New microphone Ki Jai.
been that only guy's chant.